like I mentioned last week, I was real concerned going into the Utah State game. A lot of distractions, the bowl eligibility talk. I knew Utah State was a lot better than what their record had indicated. We were favored for the first time in a month, and it was exam week. It was our last week of classes, which is always a, you know, it's an important time for the players academically, and it's important that they invest the time in making sure they do what they need to do academically. So there was a lot of clutter that can affect how you play. And, you know, you look at the game, we were a little bit cluttered in how we played. It was kind of a Jekyll and Hyde performance on offense and defense. And, you know, you look at us offensively, we had 5 3-and-outs and we had 1 1-and-out. But then we put together 5 just great scoring drives. I mean, so there was never anything in the middle. I mean, it was either 3-and-out or do a great job and punch it in. And then the same thing with the defense. We had 8 out of their 14 possessions was 3-and-out, which is phenomenal. But the problem was the other 6 were long scoring drives. And we didn't play well in the red zone and, you know, gave up a lot of points in big plays. So that part was disappointing, and I think it, you know, our ability to focus, play in and play out, was affected somewhat. Now, a lot of it had to do with Utah State, and I want to give them a lot of credit because they played a great game. You know, here we were, 35-17, with about 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. I felt like we'd finally taken the game under control. We only had 6 more minutes against the wind, and we would have had to win in the fourth. And everything was kind of looking good. And then all of a sudden, disaster happened. 10 minutes later, we're down 3 with 11 minutes to go in the game. And, you know, it was a real gut check for our team. And I was real proud of how we finished the game. You look at the last 11 minutes of the game, the offense had 2 drives, 17 plays, 104 yards, 8 up 7 minutes and 20 seconds, and got 10 points. Just a great step up, finish the game. The defense goes out there in 2 drives, 4 plays, 15 yards, 0 points. So that's the way you got to finish. You know, the challenge is to play that way the whole game. This week we're going to be facing a team that is extremely explosive. They throw it better than anybody in our league. They have a great quarterback. They have fast receivers, which, you know, has always been a little bit of a headache for us. So we got our work cut out for us. They have a very explosive return game. Took one to the house against Fresno State, who is an outstanding coverage team. And their defense, you know, Joe Lee Dunn's been around a long time. And, you know, I've gone against him a bunch as an assistant. And his defenses are always very disruptive. They're hard to, you know, figure out what they're doing. And they can cause a lot of problems on the offense. So it's going to be a big challenge for us. It's the next game. It's another WAC game. And certainly it'll enhance our chances for postseason.
Does it get frustrating playing a quarterback like that when you know you're playing a pretty good defense, but you can make plays with the speed of things tend to break?
Yeah. You know, one thing I noticed was we talked all week about this guy's really good. He's fast. He's elusive in the D-line. We really need to kind of keep him in the pocket. And I think we probably took a bit of our aggression away. You know, I mean, we had DeAnthony in there doing this instead of just going. And when he went, you know, he sacked him. So, you know, that's always the challenge. You know, you tell your guys, look, we really need to keep this guy hemmed up, but then they're not as aggressive and they don't pull the pin like they need to be. So I think that affected us.
It's Holbrook, a totally different story from this guy.
Oh, yeah. This is night and day now. Now we're playing, you know, Peyton Manning throwing the ball kind of deal. And he's got some fast guys outside. So, and I'm sure, you know, Hal's going to throw it every down. It would, I mean, I, you know, I would.
Is that record in the
Probably I would. Y'all know me better than that.
Just one win?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's just like Utah State. I mean, and look who they beat, guys. They beat probably the hottest team in the league right now, who's just thumping everybody. And, you know, and so I did say that right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost a trap game, too, Derek. I mean,
you know,
they're 3-7.
Here's what you guys use that term, trap game.
It's a great term.
Y'all love that term, all right? What that term tells me is there's a really great football team out there playing a not-so-great team, and watch out, all right? I don't ever think we're in a trap game because I don't ever see us as this big favorite to anybody, you know? I mean, when we're a 30-point favorite on somebody, buddy, let's pull that term out, all right? But we're no different than New Mexico State. I mean, we had to come from behind in the fourth quarter last year to beat them. You know, now all of a sudden it's a trap game. I don't get it, man. But, I mean, they're all hard. And I'm sure Dave on the radio show this week, he's going to say we got to jump on them early. That's his theme. And if we don't, we're not going to win. But, you know, everything I said in the beginning of the season has held true. We could beat anybody. We could lose to anybody in our league, period. And New Mexico State could embarrass us if we don't play well.
Yeah, two games left. Can you just touch on just being bowl eligible? I know there's a lot of football left, and
yeah.
I guarantee, but it's still
nothing. Yeah, it's a nice – I mean, you know, it's nice to know you don't have a losing season, you know, which a winning season's one of your goals. A bowl game is one of your goals, and you're one step closer, and it's nice to get it with two games left. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to a bowl just because you're bowl eligible. So what do we got to do? We got to refocus, and we got a heck of a challenge this week.
Talk about the defensive game plan a little bit. You said he's expecting to throw every down, and that's kind of the Achilles heel. So do you look at the film and say, what the heck are we going to do, or what do you do?
Well, we got to do something, you know, because we got to play. But I think it always comes back to we got to be able to affect the quarterback somehow, which means getting pressure on him, which means getting pressure on him in different ways, and affecting his accuracy and his ability to find open guys. And then I think we got to play with a lot more discipline in the back end. You know, we gave up some big plays the other night, and, you know, it all starts with just fundamental eye control when the ball snapped. You know, we get behind the eight ball early in the down because we're not looking where we're supposed to look. You know, we get a PI because we're not looking where we're supposed to look. And so a lot of it can go back to trusting your basic fundamentals and how you cover. You know, and I always tell them, look, if you get beat and you're doing everything we're coaching you to do, then it's on us. But, you know, we got to trust in our technique and our fundamentals, and we got to do a good job of getting to the quarterback somehow.
Is it scary a little bit? I mean, my vantage point on the field isn't one to be analytical and break film down and everything. But it seems to me every time New Mexico or the Utah State quarterback threw the ball, it wasn't a pretty ball, but it was pretty much completed. You know, it got the job done, even though it wasn't.
That's pretty to me. I mean, it was accurate. What do you mean it wasn't pretty?
Well, I just saw a lot of balls that weren't pretty balls. And to me, on the field, as I'm looking through the camera, it didn't look like a good ball. But as I said, I'm not from the vantage point of breaking films down and everything like that.
Well,
but he got the job done.
He was making accurate throws, all right, which, you know, pretty, I guess it's all how you define pretty. You know, is a pretty ball a spiral, or is a pretty ball it goes where it's supposed to go? And he was making some good, accurate throws. But, you know, we weren't doing a good job in coverage either. And, you know, so, and this guy here is a much more accurate thrower than the one we play. I think that's your point. This guy was piercing and throwing the ball. Now we're playing even a better thrower. So it's going to be a challenge. You know, we played Kansas, who has a phenomenal thrower. We played Southeastern, who spreads it out. You know, we did a good job the second half and didn't do a good job the first half against him. We played, of course, Boise, who throws it well. And, you know, so it's not the first time we're going against a guy who can sling it around. But, you know, they're a little different schematically, and they got some little fast guys outside. And it's going to be hard.
Seems like in this four-game winning streak, you've had an injury take place, and whoever comes in seems to pick up where the other person left off and filling their role quite well.
Who was it this week?
Didn't Kwame come out?
Oh, during the game, yeah. Kwame got hurt.
Quinn couldn't play much.
Yeah. Well, you just, you know, it happens to every team. And I think the important thing is you don't go, oh, God, you know, he's hurt, we're in trouble. Just put the next guy in, he's going to make mistakes. And, you know, I always say, everybody says, boy, he really has to step up, the guy that goes in. And I'm kind of from the other school. Everybody else needs to step up. You can't ask this guy to step up. He's just stepping in, you know. So, and I think our team has done that. You know, the good players have played better down the stretch. DeAnthony's played great. Bates playing good. You know, Deion doing a good job. Brandon's doing a pretty good job. I mean, so your older veteran guys need to play better.
Quinn will play. He'll be.
We'll see. He's, you know, day-to-day still. He played PP on punt team.
Yeah.
We put him back out there.
You know,
Coach Finder kind of, you know, makes fun of me. You know, guy, I'll pull him out for everything, but special teams he can go. So,
I'm sure you don't care how you score as long as you get in the end zone.
Yeah.
Still having a throwing a touchdown pass to a wideout yet.
Yeah. Us, somebody, who?
Virginia
Tech. Yeah. Where did I see that? Somebody wrote that.
I got from Melbourne.
What's Virginia Tech's record?
Well, that's
yeah, they're doing pretty good. Coach Beamer's doing a good job up there for a long time, so maybe he's on to something. Huh?
He's special teams like you.
Huh? Yeah, defense, run the ball, special teams. It works. Jeff Fisher is kind of that way. But I like to throw it, so don't start putting that label on me. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but I mean, when you're running it in, it's a lot easier. And we're scoring a lot. You know, you look at our home games especially. Now, there's going to be a time where we're going to have to throw it down there. And, you know, but we hit the tight end for a touchdown. We hit the back for a touchdown. Those are good, too. They count the same. Everybody wants to see a wide out. Tell them to break a tackle and go score, and it'll make it easy, you know. Live has had a couple of chances. I would do it, you know.
Defensively, this is a tough game just because they don't even play to what your strength is. I mean, they're not going to run the ball at all, and that's traditionally what you've been best at this season.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's why it's going to be a challenge. You know, of course, sometimes, you know, you say we're a good run team and we play a real good run team and they run it up, you're pretty good. So it doesn't always work out that way. But, you know, we got to – look, if you're going to be a good team, and I say this from the day one I got here, you got to be good at everything. And we're going to have to learn to play better pass defense, and we're going to have to learn to throw the ball better to be a really good team. And those are the two areas that and we actually did throw it – when we did, I mean, our yards per attempt the other day was pretty good. And we had two drops. I mean, you know, we dropped a third down right in our hands, and we dropped a long ball, you know, which was a great throw by Ross. And, you know, the more efficient we become, the more we'll throw it. And we got to do a better job of defending the pass.
Eric, Steve made comment on Saturday night on the postgame about it seems like the running game is a little slow to get started.
Yeah.
You look at that, and any reason why?
You know, Dave, I think that's historically how our running game is. I know, you know, the yard, if you're a good running football team, the yards get easier the later the game. And it's because you can't deny the physical nature of the game. And when you start the game, everybody's fresh. Everybody wants to hit somebody. So the advantage is defense. And they're flying around, and they're taking on blocks, and they're hitting the runners. But if you keep hitting them, and you make a little progress, and you keep hitting them, and they get a little tired, and then all of a sudden, man, this thing's getting old. They just keep doing the same thing, and I'm getting a headache. I'm getting tired. You're not as aggressive, and then all of a sudden the surge starts, and then that brings more energy to the offense. And we've had our second half rushing game has just been phenomenal lately. But I also think, Dave, that it's harder for coordinators to be patient with the run game than it is with the pass. You know, most offensive coordinators, if you don't get yards early and they want to just start swinging it, well, they say, well, we couldn't run it. You see what happened. So we can't run it. We got to throw it. But they never, if you throw six incompletions, say, well, we can't throw it. So we got to run it. They always just want to throw it. All right. So it requires patience. It requires a head coach, you know, who's going to support him. And Coach Selfo's done a great job of being patient. Just keep working at it. And then, of course, when you got the runners that we've got and they're running the way they're running, why wouldn't you do it?
On the offensive side of ball throwing, you know, you got the two picks by Ross and one in the end zone and 150 yards. Is that getting it done, or is he doing what you're...
Well, I thought Ross made two bad decisions in the game. Otherwise, he played a great game. And both decisions came 2 minutes before the half. He took a sack the first play. We had guys open, but even if they weren't open, throw it away. It's first down. And then the interception. It wasn't his read. He wasn't – it was just kind of – and he knew it. All right? And that's what's good about Ross. I mean, he came right off the field. He knew it. But, you know, the one to Phillip, it was the right read, and it's one-on-one, and Phillip's got to run a better route and get open. You know, we're trying to get him a shot down the field. And if he's not open, at least don't let him intercept it. So Ross is doing a good job of managing the game. He really does a good job in our run game. And I can't, you know, part of having a good run game is getting the right runs against the right looks. And that's something that he really does a good job with. And a lot of quarterbacks struggle with that. It sounds easy, but it's not. And he's done a good job. He gets us out of bad plays. So he's managing the game well. Now, obviously, we want to be able to throw it more. But, you know, even the two drops were great throws. And then there was another sack that we gave up on a mental error. The guy's wide open. He's going to complete that one.
You can put on the AD cap for a second. Mm-hmm. About the prospect of playing in the Heisman Bowl.
You know what, Eden? What I'm going to do with that, I'm going to let Bruce talk when I'm done, if y'all want, about bowls. All I'm going to say about the bowl thing is we're bowl eligible, but it doesn't guarantee us a spot. I think we all know that. And the only way – so much can happen these next two weeks in college football that changes the landscape changes every week, sometimes daily. And the only thing that will help us is for us to win this week. So Bruce really has done, you know, 98% of the legwork on the bowls, and I'm kind of letting him do that because I'll get distracted on it. So is that okay with y'all to just let Bruce comment on it? He's here, so.
Has the players handled this well? I mean, has it been a distraction?
I don't know. I didn't think we played, you know. I think we'll see this week. We didn't play poorly, and we did what we had to do to win the game, so that was good.
Along those lines, looks like the conference is as deep as it's been in
quarterback.
I'm talking about the strength of it.
It's a great conference, and, you know, it starts with a lot of great coaches. I think that's probably the one thing that doesn't get emphasized enough in our league. I mean, you look at Chris Ault, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, people don't even recognize that. Chris Peterson, what he's done is phenomenal. Look at Pat Hill, what he's done. Hal Mumley's won all these games. I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. And, you know, so it starts with really good coaches. And then I think the personnel, each coach is really elevating their personnel. And so now you combine some pretty good coaching with good players, and then it becomes more and more competitive. And that's what you want in a league. But, man, we have – how many teams are we going to have bowl eligible?
Maybe six.
Possibly six if Hawaii wins the next two out of nine. That's pretty salty to me.
I guess we've got a talk about going on the road, you know. We all know what it's been like this season. Is the monkey off the back? Is the stress relieved after last game? Or where do you sit as far as knowing your team struggled mm-hmm. heading into this week?
Well, we're going to bring the dog. So we shouldn't have any of the bad karma, you know. So we ought to just go out there and play. And, you know, we're on grass, and we played last game on grass. I think there's only two fields now that are grass, which is shocking in the league. Is that accurate, Dave? Malcolm? There's only two fields.
That's grass.
I thought, Malcolm, I thought you weren't going to be here today. I just remembered that. Oh.
Fresno and
No, three fields. San Jose, Fresno, and New Mexico State. But somebody's going to field turf next year. I think it's San Jose. And that'll make it two.
Is altitude play at all? What about?
What is the altitude? I hadn't studied that.
I think it's around 4,000.
Probably around 4,000.
Is that a trap? Holbrook, yeah. I'd rather play, you know, take Chase Holbrook out, and we'll play in 20,000 feet altitude. All right? So, you know, the guys always worry me more than all that other stuff. The guys were playing. I mean, stadium, field, the trip. How about the guys, you know?
Scheduling any different with the school being out? Yeah.
Yes. We've changed it considerably. We're on our training camp schedule as far as, you know, like our first couple of games. So we do our work in the morning, practice mid-morning, and then clean it up. I like it. You know, it's kind of the NFL. It's the same schedule we used at the Dolphins. So our players can just – it can be all ball now.
Is it hard to keep them out of trouble? Do they get bored?
Well, we keep them busy. You know, we practice in the morning, hopefully, so they're not running the streets at night because they got to get up so they can go to bed. And, you know, it's one of the advantages of rusting. I don't think there's a lot happening tonight in Ruston.
What about eligibility-wise, if we're at the end of the quarter starting another, is there a play?
Yeah. Well, Jay Dudley played, and Ramon Randall's eligible to play. And Jay, we threw him out there, and he did a good job, and he's going to be a good player for us in the future. He don't know what he's doing now, but it's okay. I kind of forced the coaches to play him, just play. That's all. We don't have, because we don't start winter quarter until after our last game. So that's good. So usually we have to recertify everybody for our last game. So it doesn't matter now, you know, in the event we keep winning and fortunate enough to play again, then the fall quarter will have an effect. Any other questions? Appreciate y'all coming as always.
Thanks.